It was crazy weather and a crazy first round. Hello, everybody. Terry Bennett here on the Fat Cow Jerky West Texas Huddle right here on the LSG Sports Network. And last week across the state of Texas, if you played a game on Friday, which the majority was played, even though there are a lot on Thursdays in the playoffs, the weather was crazy, the wind, and you saw a lot of teams get brought down to the level of their opponent, and that's why we had such a crazy first week. And talking about the weather on Friday and all, on Thursday, 8 fourth seeds won their games. So there's always that talk about, oh, there's too many teams in the playoffs. I've never understood why you want to take teams out of the playoffs. That means less playoffs. That makes no sense to me. But also, it just goes to show you that, you know, just because a fourth-place team is a fourth-place team in one district, that doesn't mean that it cannot be competitive in another. And so, you know, it just that Thursday goes to show that. And then Friday was just as crazy. So many upsets, so many near upsets. Lorena, a state championship in 3A, was beat in the first round. But they were playing a team in Columbus that probably wasn't a first-round matchup. That could have easily been a region semifinal or region final. But, again, that goes back to how tough some of these districts are. But this is West Texas, so we're going to talk things West Texas today. We'll mainly talk on the area around, give you the matchups, kind of bounce back and talk about some of the games from last week as we're going through those. And I'll give you some mini predictions on some of these games. But first and foremost, we want to thank our sponsors, including our title sponsor, Fat Cow Jerky. Find them online at fatcowjerky.com for most utterly perfect jerky you're going to find. It's Fat Cow Jerky. As I like to say, it's the best jerky on the internet. 100% premium marinated meat. It's slow cooked over hardwood, 18 to 22 hour process, and it's amazing. And for all the talk, I always talk about all the different flavors and the fact that they have canine treats, and dogs love the canine treats, and you'll love the regular treats. The price per bag is really, really good, especially in today's world where inflation and jerky and barbecue are two of the things that have shot through the roof when it comes to inflation. But Fat Cow Jerky still for a 3 ounce bag, which is a pretty good amount. Grant and I, on our road trips, we can take down some jerky, and you easily take a bag a trip. It's still affordable. It's still amazingly delicious. So check out Fat Cow Jerky. Find them online at fatcowjerky.com. On Facebook, just type in Fat Cow Jerky. You can also email them, fatcowjerky@gmail.com, or give them a text, 484-463-7633. Now we want to thank Spice Peppers, the best hot sauce, Spice Peppers Enterprise. You can find them online at spicepeppers.com. And I always tell everybody, and I've said it multiple times, get the Gourmet Collection, the gift box, because it has all the flavors. And that's how you're going to find out which one you like best. And what I like about Spice Peppers is it's about heat and about taste, not scrimping on either one of them. You know, about 10 years ago, it was all about heat. Just you had all the heat challenges, all the spicy wing challenges, and Grant Goodwin and I, we've tried a few of those. And then you kind of swung into more of the sweeter sauces. It tastes great, but there's not a lot of bite. Spice Peppers marrying the two. It's intense flavor, it's heat, but it's a great flavor as well. So again, you can find them online at spicepeppers.com. You can email them, spicepepperco@gmail.com. Give them a call, 937-508-1329. You can find them on Facebook. Just type in Spice Pepper Enterprises. And then we would love to thank Nicole Thompson, State Farm, now in Amarillo. She was Nicole Thompson State Farm Hereford. Now she's Nicole Thompson State Farm Canyon/Amarillo. She will be back next year as a sponsor, but it won't be of a Hereford show. It will be of a Canyon ISD show. You can find her at 4722 Southwestern Street, her new offices in Amarillo. Now, you can get a hold of her. First off, you can give her a call, 806-391-1033. You can email her at nicole@nicolethompson.com. And we're very happy to have her back here next year as a sponsor. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to break down a little West Texas area around football right here on the Fat Cow Jerky West Texas Huddle Report football show recap preview procrastinating. We're doing it all on the LSG Sports Network.
Hey, gang, Christmas is just around the corner, and I have the perfect gifts for the sports fan and game lover in your family. Board Game Legends, yes, the company that brought you Friday Night Legends, has a whole host of very cool games. Friday Night Legends allows you to play Texas high school football teams against each other based on their real stats. You can play the state champion Shiner Comanches against the state champion Mark Panthers, or perhaps one of the famous state championship Katy Tigers squads going up against Kyler Murray's Allen State Championship team. You name it, it's limitless who you can play. In addition, we also have Saturday Legends. It does the exact same thing for college football. So if you want the Convicts versus the Catholics, that famous game, Lou Holtz's Notre Dame Fighting Irish against Jimmy Johnson's Miami Hurricanes, you can play that. It is limitless the number of matchups you can have in that game too. But before you think it's all football, Board Game Legends also has a game called Basketball Legends. In this one board game, you can play high school basketball. You can play college basketball. You can play professional basketball. You can play WNBA. You can play world basketball. You name it. In our library, we have teams for every type of basketball all in one game. To learn about the games and order these in time for Christmas, go to BoardGameLegends.com.
Terry Bennett back here on the Fat Cow Jerky West Texas Huddle on the LSG Sports Network. I want to remind everybody, if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments, you can call our fan feedback line, 713-568-6361. Don't worry, you don't have to talk to anybody. It's a voicemail system. Just wait for the beep. And then say, hey, my name is, this is for the West Texas show. Here's my thought, comment, question, whatever it may be. Also, email it to me if you don't want to call, terry@lonestargridiron.com. You can also find us on Twitter at LSGridiron, at Grant and Terry, at LSPN100. All right. Excuse me. I thought I'd hit the mute button there, but I had not, so I do apologize for that. Let's go ahead and jump into it. Area round playoffs. Again, we'll do like last week, just kind of give you where the games are and some information passing through as we go. 6A Division I, Region I, you've got El Paso Pebble Hills, the first ever El Paso team beating Odessa Permian in the playoffs as they move on to take on a very tough North Crowley team, 11-0. This game is 5:30 Friday at Andrews Mustang Bowl. Now, North Crowley had struggled for years. Back in 03, I think it was, or maybe 04, they won a very would be considered one of the most upset state championships that there was. They came into the playoffs like 6-4 or 5-5 and got on the hot streak. Ended up beating what was then the defending state champion Texas High in a huge upset. But anyway, since then North Crowley had struggled until last year. Courtney Allen turned them around last year. He moved on to Mesquite Horn, but the turnaround has continued as they've now won their first playoff game since that 2003 state championship run. That was the whole reason I wanted to give you that story. That tells you where North Crowley is. But this is a good, good team. And this is a really good matchup. I like North Crowley. But, man, when you get a team like Pebble Hills confident, you never know what's going to happen. Also, in Region 1, you've got Midland Legacy 7-4 versus Keller 9-2. Now, this is a game. The Indians of Keller, they've struggled at times this year, but they're a team that a lot of people, you know, thought they were going to have a good year this year. They returned a good amount from I think it was like 8 offensive starters. They have a stud wide receiver core with Amari Henry and Trey Griffiths and Trey Guerrero at quarterback. Really young, but also veteran. It was one of those weird combinations. And at times they've struggled this year, but they've struggled against really good teams. Their losses on the year were to South Lake Carroll, 38-35, and then Trophy Club Byron Nelson, 45-17. Both of those teams still playing. When I mean they struggle those defensively at times this year, even against lesser opponents, they have struggled. Though last week against the suddenly hot Euless Trinity team, they held them to 10 points. They got a shutout the week before against Haltom, though Haltom's not really good. But still, this is a tough matchup for the Raider or for the Rebels, and I like Keller in this one as well. All right, let's move on to Class 6A Division II. area around. You got El Paso Eastwood 9-2 against said Trophy Club Nelson 10-1. This game's Friday, Midland King Memorial Stadium. Now, Trophy Club Nelson, their only loss of the year was a couple weeks ago to South Lake Carroll. They are the prohibitive favorite in this game, maybe even by 14 points. Wolford Friendship 9-2 versus South Lake Carroll. They're 11-0. Friday at San Angelo Stadium. Again, South Lake Carroll is a prohibitive favorite in this game as well. All right, let's kick it over to 5A. All right, 5A Division One. You've got Abilene 5-6 versus Red Oak 9-2. Now, Abilene, you know, being 5-6 and making the playoffs, that's a big upset in itself, making that second round as they beat DeValle last week 42-14. But that was an expected win. What Red Oak did was not expected, as they pulled off one of the bigger first-round upsets as they beat Denton Ryan in an absolute classic game, 29-28. But let's also remember, Red Oak's 6-2 in District, 9-2 overall. Their only two losses were to two really good teams, Lake Belton by one. And that Midlothian game a couple weeks ago did get out of hand late, but Red Oak also didn't have a lot to play for. They had all the tiebreakers, so I think they ended up resting. But still, beating Ryan, and I know Denton Ryan had been down this year. They had kind of been down since the first game of the year when they lost to New Braunfels in the shocker 34-33. And then they were competitive in their district losses with Centennial and Aledo. And so they finished 6-4. And so you think, hey, this team, you know, they going into the playoffs, they were 6-3. But everybody assumed, hey, they're going to get right. You know, they're going to get right. You still got Caleb Hicks. You still got Kalon Davis at quarterback. You still have a stud defense in the middle with Anthony Hill. And everybody thought they're going to get right once the playoffs started. And lo and behold, they didn't. And Red Oak pulls off the upset. And so, you know, for Abilene, you look at it as, hey, this gives us a chance. I don't know how much of a chance, but it gives you a chance. Amarillo Tascosa, 10-1, taking on Burleson Centennial, 10-1. That game's Friday, Wichita Falls Memorial Stadium. You got Aledo, 9-2, versus Lubbock Cooper, who's also 9-2. This game is Friday at the famous Mustang Bowl in Sweetwater. You know, this feels like you want to say, hey, maybe Alito's down this year. This might be a chance. And Alito is not as good as they have him, but they're not down. I think a lot of people have made that mistake. But the Bearcats on the year, their two losses were at the beginning of the year to a Dallas Parish Episcopal team who's beat pretty much everybody they've played. And then to Guyer, 44-14. Since then, they haven't lost, and it hasn't been close. In a couple of games that were supposed to be, hey, this will be a close one, like Burleson Centennial, Alito won by 64-21. Even the Ryan game, oh, that's supposed to be a close one, Alito won by 14. Yeah, it was close for most of that game, but the point is the Bearcats separated in that third quarter and absolutely dominated. And so I think that misconception of seeing those two losses, people think the Bearcats are down this year, and they're not. And this is going to be a tough game. Cooper on the year, you know, their only losses were to Tascosa and to Wolfer. Two solid losses, but they don't have a win that is as good as any win that Alito has. As much as I like that defensive line of Cooper led by Coulter Lynch, and as much as I like the offense with Bryce LeBlanc and a solid offensive line, I just don't think that's enough against Alito. I think Alito will win. I think it'll be close, but I think Alito wins by like 10 points or so. And then you got Midlothian 11-0 versus Amarillo 6-5. That's at Wichita Falls Memorial Stadium. That's Friday at 7 p.m. Midlothian, the surprise undefeated team, the Jaguars. The Panthers, I did that on last show, on the 6A show, or the 5A show, and my apologies. It's Midlothian Panthers. They're 11-0. You know, last year they made a great run in the playoffs. They had some tough losses in season, but they had really bounced back and made a really good run in the playoffs before losing to Mandeville Summit. I think that was like a 28-20 game, a game that earlier in the year in district they had lost by like three or four touchdowns. So they really did, you know, you saw that maturation growing, but still, nobody thought 11-0. Nobody thought 10-0 would win that district. And they got realigned into a very favorable district. Do not get me wrong. as only them and Red Oak are still alive, and Red Oak, of course, being a shocking playoff win over Guyer. I'm sorry, over Denton Ryan. But, man, Midlothian, Doug Wendell has done a wonderful job there. They have a beast defensive line with Kay Tompkins and Bryce Starlin. Diego Benson at wide receiver. At running back is just electric. And this team, I mean, this is going to be a tough one. Amarillo, 5-6. Beat Parkland last week 38-20, but they've struggled this year against really good teams and even some really bad teams. Don't forget, they got beat by Lubbock Coronado, a team that finished 3-7. So this is going to be a tough one. I like Midlothian in this one, and I like Midlothian by a good amount, actually. I think they could end up winning by 21 or so. All right, let's flip down over into 5A Division II. Cantillo 9-2 versus Fort Worth Arlington Heights 10-1. This game's Friday at Odessa's Ratliff Stadium. You've got Abilene Wiley 8-3 versus Colleyville Heritage. This game is in Grapevine, so basically a home game for Colleyville Heritage. Look at what Wiley's done. I, being a 4A, 3A guy, and us having our sideline to sideline 4A, 3A show for the last 15 years, well, then obviously Wiley was a team that we talked a ton about in Hugh Sandiford, and we used to joke about how, in Hugh Sandiford we trust, give him 22 guys and he'll figure out a way to get into the state semifinals. But let's be honest, since they moved up to 5A, they had struggled. 0-10, 2-8, 4-4, 4-5. But this year, the Bulldogs found their footing. First off, you knew it was going to be a good year, or I did, when they played Lubbock Cooper and Stephenville and San Angelo Central. You had a good 5A team, a state championship 4A team, and then a solid 6A team. And Abilene Wiley played every one of those within a possession. That's when I knew that this was going to be good. Now, how good can it be? I don't know. Heritage has been an interesting team. Over the last few years, Heritage basically beats everybody they should beat and then loses to everybody they should lose. They haven't had any upset games really either way. Now, when Fort Worth Arlington Heights beat them earlier this year 41-30, a lot of people thought that that might be an upset game, but it turned out it wasn't. The Yellow Jackets are really, really good. But in saying that, I like Abilene Wiley in this game. I think Abilene Wiley pulls off the – I don't even know if it's really considered an upset, but I like them. I like Reese Dorho at wide receiver. I like that defensive line. A little bit undersized, but people like Ryan Price, that dude just works. Kid's got a motor, and I know it's so generic, but he really does. He's undersized, and he works really hard on the defensive line. So I like Wiley to pull the upset off in that game. Also in 5A Division II, you've got Argyle 11-0 versus Wichita Falls Rider 8-3. This is in Mineral Wells at Realm Stadium Friday at 7 p.m. I like this game. I think this game is going to be a lot closer. I don't know what people really think about this game, because when you get to the area round, every game is a pretty big game. Every game outside of a couple upsets, or you just have a really, really, really dominant team. Every game, you could say, make the case is going to be a toss-up. I know that Ryder, with an 8-3 record, has three damn good losses, losing to Lubbock Cooper, losing to Stephenville, and losing to Wiley. So I know all three of those are quality losses, but in saying that, Argyle jumps up their first year in 5A Division II, were state ranked to begin, and have so far played up to that state ranking. 11-0 on the year. They have really good wins against Lovejoy, 56-49, against Melissa. They rolled through district. I guess their toughest district game was either Lake Dallas or Emerson. And in both of those games, they won comfortably. And Emerson, of course, ended up being in the playoffs, though they got beat. And now that is the one thing. Argyle's district, they're the last team left. Everybody got beat in district, or in by district. So does that maybe mean that district was not anywhere as tough as what people thought they were? Because that's what happens. You get inside your regions. I do a Dallas-Fort Worth show. And you get inside your regions, you get lost, and you think, man, this is a really competitive district. That means it's going to go into the playoffs, and it's going to do a lot. And they didn't. And it wasn't even close. But Argyle's still there, and I still do like Argyle, though I do think Wichita Falls Rider will give them a game. Grapevine 10-1 versus Abilene Cooper 6-5. This game is Friday at Fort Worth Crowley's ISD Stadium. Give me Grapevine. I just think the Mustangs are going to be too much. All right. Now let's go to Class 4A, Division 1. You got Brownwood 9-2 versus Canyon 10-1. I call it quarterback for Brownwood, Canyon not having Derek Clements. And, hey, give them a ton of credit for still having a really good season because Clements got lost, what, in week 4 or 5 or maybe week 6? It's been a while. Yet they've been able to stay the road, and they're in the playoffs. But I just like Icall and Brownwood just a little bit more. Icall and Brownwood, I think, have a chance to win the region. And so I like them, and I like them by 21 points. Canyon Randall, 8-3 versus Lubbock Estacado, 7-4. This game's at Canyon's Happy State Bank. It's a home game. Look, the Matadors to be 7-4 at times this year, it really looked like they were struggling. We've been a big fan of them. You know, we went out a few years ago, back-to-back years, and saw them play shallow water. Huge fan of their head coach, who's now at Mount Pleasant. And you look at what William Blaylock's done, and lo and behold, he's pulled himself a damn good season. You know, last year they were 3-7. There's a lot of questions about what they had coming back because last year's team at 3-7 was supposed to be a little bit more competitive. They had a core coming back from a team that had just ran off two or three really good deep runs in the playoffs. So last year they go 3-4, and it's like, well, what's, you know, what are we going to have this year? And at times they struggled, losing to Dumas, losing to Paladuro to begin things, losing to West Plains, a team that this is their first year. Now, give West Plains credit, they're still in the playoffs, but still. But once district play got going, and part of it's who the district is, Andrews has not been as big as people thought they were. Big Spring has struggled. But guess what? In saying all that, District 2-4A Division 1 had a sweep last week. All four of them are still playing. Just saying. It goes to show you. Lubbock Estacado beating Bowie last week 54-7. With Canyon Randall, man, Canyon Randall gave up, you know, or was part of maybe the biggest upset in West Texas. In a game that ended up not mattering as far as everything, but losing to Hereford when Canyon Randall goes into that game and all they have to do is win and they're the first outright, their first outright district championship in like 6 or 7 years, and Hereford beat them 35-24, excuse me. That was a little shocking. Now, they did bounce back against Springtown and beat them 31-7. In the playoffs, and maybe having that loss, which turned out really not to hurt them, maybe that was a good thing, kind of reset them. They had that bye week before the playoffs because they came out last week. And yeah, Springtown is really down this year. I know that, but still, they come out and dominated them 31-7. I think there's a little bit of impressiveness in that, and just how bad they beat them. And then you got Decatur 8-3 versus Andrews 7-4. I like Decatur in that game. Their three losses are tough losses. Decatur's a really good team, and I really think it'll be them and Brownwood to finish off that to play for Region 1 here in a couple weeks. All right, let's go to 4A Division 2. You got Monahans versus Ferris. Monahans 8-3. Ferris with a surprise win, 5-6. This is Friday at Roscoe's Plowboy Field. Of course, if you want to hear more in-depth discussion of 4A football, check me and Grant Goodwin out sideline to sideline each and every week. But I have Monahans winning this game. Good season for Ferris, who didn't return a lot and was supposed to possibly finish outside the playoff race. They not only get in, but they get a win in the first round, but I don't see them moving on. Seminole 10-1 versus Godley 6-5. This game's at Abilene Moore Stadium. Godley, what an upset. I'm not going to call it the upset of the year or anything, but still, Godley beating Midland Greenwood in the first round of the playoffs, very impressive. I mean, you got to look at it, and I will say this about Godley. They played a pretty tough schedule. Everybody they lost to is pretty much still playing outside of Gatesville. West is still playing. Paradise is still playing. Ferris is still playing. And Glen Rose is still playing. So maybe that that win wasn't that big of a shock. But still, winning that game, Curtis Lowry, coach at Godley, just a great win. And I think this is a terrible matchup, though. I like Seminole in this game, and it could get ugly. Seminole scored, 70 points last week? Wichita Falls Hershey versus Canyon West Plains. Hershey's 8-2, West Plains 7-4. This game is in Childress, Thursday, 7 p.m. Now, you know, Hershey started out the year state-ranked, had some really good wins early on in the year, including beating Brock 3-8 power in overtime. But then they lost to Decatur, and then that Graham loss happened. And if you don't remember, that's that weird. It's just really ugly. I don't, you know. Anyway, point is, there are two losses. I don't really count the Graham one because they won on the field. But that Decatur game, that was a game I really thought was a measuring game for the Huskies, and they struggled. In saying that, though, they're back here in the second round, and so all that matters. And I think they beat West Plains. And congratulations to West Plains, whether they lose or not. Great first year for the Wolves. Man, they started out the year struggling. I think it was, 0-3. Lost to Bushland, Midland, Greenwood, and Canyon. All three really solid teams. But then, man, they found something. Winning that first game of the program against Paladuro, 28-26. They went on to win three more before losing a tough one to Seminole, 38-28. And then they closed out the regular season on a three-game winning streak, now a four-game by beating Pecos last week. I think this is going to be a really close game, but give me the Huskies. I think the Wolves can keep it close with that defense, but at the end of the day, Hershey was ranked top 10 to start the year for a reason, and I think that reason is still there. Glenrose 10-1 versus Fort Stockton 10-1, San Angelo Stadium. Hey, great. Again, I always hate to do this because I'm sounding like I'm kind of patronizing, but I'm being very legitimate. Great job for the Panthers this year, 10-1. Last year they were 9-3. You know, they're a team that just consistently makes the playoffs. Over the last few years, they just struggled to get past that first round. This year they got past that first round, but they get a very tough Glenrose team that has got their star quarterback back. And by the way, what a great year by Glenrose. You know, losing their quarterback, I think it was like basically week one against Grandview. Maybe it was week two. I can't remember. But Hudson White was out for most of the year. He came back a couple weeks ago when they beat Ferris 56-27. They destroyed Graham last night 55-14, or last week 55-14. And I think they'll take care of Fort Stockton. And I don't really think it'll be close. I think Glenrose pretty much can name their score. I really like Glenrose right now in this region to win the region. So I don't think the Panthers will be able to stay much in this game. All right, let's go to 3A Division One. You got Dalhart 5-5 versus Whitesboro 9-1. This game is in Childress Fair Park Stadium Friday. Give me Whitesboro. Great job by the Wolves, but Whitesboro's legit this year, and this region's legit. And to be honest with you, of the teams that are left, Dalhart's the one that's kind of on the outside looking in. I don't think they would beat anybody in this second round, no matter who they were matched up with. Shallow Water 10-1 versus Paradise 9-2. Now, this is the game, or one of, I say this, again, every other matchup in this area round is just brutal in 3A Division One. But you got Shallow Water on the year. Their only loss was to 4A Greenwood, 43-28. They've rolled, including beating Bushland, who at the time was state-ranked, and they're back to being state-ranked, but a prohibitive favorite. And everybody just kind of was forgetting about Shallow Water. Well, they showed in that game, at least in that round or that week, that they're the better team. But they take on a Paradise Panther team, folks. That's legit. Their only loss is back-to-back against Brock and Whitesboro, both teams still playing, both competitive. They lose to Brock on a game-winning touchdown, 18-13. They lose to Whitesboro on a defensive slugout, 18-7. Paradise is physical. Their quarterback, Austin Iglesias, is an absolute stud. Give me Shallow Water. Give me Shallow Water in this game, but I think it's going to be a tough one. And listen to sideline, because you never know, I could end up changing my view on that. Not even on purpose. That's just how it works. GymNet 8-3 versus Bushland 10-1. This is at Lubbock Lowry Field. Give me Bushland. Give me Jocko, their quarterback, and Baylor King, their receiver, one of the best duos in the state in all classifications. Give me that defense. Give me Soto at running back. But hey, Jim Nebb, after finally being healthy all year, we've seen how tough they can be. So I don't think this is an easy game by any stretch. I think this is a one possession, maybe two possession game. Matt Fanning has really done a good job. They started out 0-3. They've won 8 in a row since then. Sergio Hernandez at running back, Troy Doran, kind of that all-athlete, Braden Shipman. They've got a bevy of talent. Some of it's just really young. In fact, next year I think they're going to be a little scary. But I still, at the end of the day, I like Bushland in this game by a 28-21 type score. I really think Bushland has played really good football since that Shallow Water upset. And that's a game that they really spit the bit in the game, turned the ball over a ton, and allowed Shallow Water to get out to a big lead, tried to come back, and just couldn't quite do it. Brock 7-4 versus Muleshoe 8-3. This game is in Sweetwater Thursday. I like what Mule Shoe's done this year. We've talked about them a good amount on the 3A show and everything, but I just still think until you beat Brock, Brock's the favorite for me. Mule Shoe's losses on the year to Littlefield 28-7, Bushland 34-0, and Shallow Water 48-20. So when they've played teams at least comparable to Brock, they've struggled and struggled mightily, and I think that happens in this game. I think Brock's just way too defensive for them, and it's just really, really hard right now to score against Brock, and their offense is starting to figure things out. I like Brock in that game. All right, let's go to 3A Division 2. You got Crane 8-3 versus Idaloo 8-3. This is in Denver City's Mustang Stadium Friday. Idaloo's defense has been amazing all year. Their offense has started kind of to figure things out. I like Idaloo in that game by a touchdown. Wall 10-1 versus Childress 7-4. This is Breckenridge Buckaroo Stadium Friday. Childress has been just besieged with injuries, but here they are in the second round, and I'm going to call the slight upset. I like the Bobcats to win this game. Wall's great defense, but at times their offense is stagnated, so give me Childress in what will definitely be a little bit of an upset. Canadian 9-2 versus Early 7-4. This game's at Friday at Vernon's Lions Stadium Friday. Give me Canadian in this game. Spearman 4-7 versus Alpine 5-6, a matchup of two losing teams, but they both won in the first round. Give the Lynx credit. They beat an Abernathy team that I thought was getting hot and I thought was going to be a region threat. And Spearman said, no, we've got this, and beat them 21-7 in the first round. That's huge. Like I said, it felt like Abernathy had kind of figured some things out and were starting to find themselves. Alpine on the air. They beat Brady in a hell of a game last week. I think it was, 57-55. For a team that had struggled offensively all year long, in their losses, Alpine has scored 13-0-6-6. And 28, but they'd given up 56 into that one and another zero. But then in their wins, they scored 41 and 61 and 38. So for Alpine, it was just a really weird year offensively and defensively. And last week, they were scoring at will. I don't think that happens this week. Give me Spearman in that game, though I do think it'll be a close one. All right, let's go to Class 2A Division 1. You've got Stratford 11-0 versus Cisco 9-2. This is at Woodrow's Pirate Stadium Friday. This is a hell of a battle right here. Give me Stratford, but I think it's a one-possession game, and I think it's a low-scoring game. New Deal 8-3 versus Forsan 9-2. This is Thursday, Denver City's Mustang Stadium. Give me Forsan. Sonora 9-2 versus Farwell 9-2. This game's Friday, Big Memorial Stadium. Give me Sonora. Hawley 11-0 versus Panhandle 9-3. This is in Lubbock at Lowry Field Friday at 3 p.m. Give me Hawley by a lot. All right, let's finish out Class 2A Division 2 Region 1. Vegas 7-4 versus Seagraves. This game's at Friday at Plainview Sherwood Memorial Stadium. Give me Vega. Wellington 10-1 versus Sudan 9-2. This is at Bivens Stadium in Amarillo Friday at 7. Give me Wellington, but don't be surprised if it's a 28-24 type game. Rawls 9-2 versus Clarendon 8-3. That's at Tulia's Younger Field Friday. Give me Clarendon. New home 10-1 at Sunray 9-2 Friday. Hereford's Whiteface Stadium. Give me Sunray in that game. All right, that's going to do it for the area round. Again, any questions, thoughts, or comments, call our fan feedback line 713-563-6361, or you can email it to me, Terry, at LoneStarGridiron.com. The area round is in the books. Next week's Thanksgiving, and we'll be talking about it next week on the West Texas Report. The Huddle, the Procrastination, the Recap, the show that talks all things West Texas, brought to you by Fat Cow Jerky on the LSG Sports Network.